about the Lord is good. So let me remind you. The Lord is good. And all the time? Good. I like it. I didn't know if you remembered how to do that or not. Praise the Lord. You did. You guys are smarter than you look out there, I'll tell you. 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you would, please. I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture to start, and I'm probably going to, I don't even know that I'm going to refer to a lot. This is what some people might refer to as a one-line Charlie. I don't preach a lot of these very often, to be honest. But I am going to share. I prepared this sermon like August 12th, and I just, Bill? And I haven't got a chance to preach it, really, and I hope I can remember what I mean. You know, sometimes you write something down, it triggers your mind. Well, I sure hope it triggers my mind to say what I was thinking when I wrote it down. I can tell you that right now. But what I want to preach on, and I'm going to preach a couple messages on this, is on being an armor bearer. And it, that really is a phrase that is used in the Old Testament. But it is there's several principles that apply to it. So I want to read one verse of Scripture. Then next week I'm going to come back and look at this a little bit more. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Now, that's where you see the phrase, at least in one place, that we'll look at three or four examples of Old Testament armor bearers next week, because I got that lesson already prepared as well. But anyway, because I started working on this, and I want to teach it a little bit on this stuff. So let me pray, if I could, and then I'll make some comments. Father, I pastor the church, and I'm never comfortable talking about the pastor and about those that need to be armor bearers and to say the word, you know, very directly and exactly as the scriptures say it, because it almost like would lift me up, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to come across. So I pray that the Spirit of God will work in people's hearts and truly help me to communicate what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to teach to the church, because we have several things going on in churches today that are kind of unnerving and not really biblical or right. So I pray you'll bless as I teach our church on some of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a reason why I started thinking about this. I don't know, you don't probably follow pastors and churches like I do, I wouldn't imagine. But you probably aren't aware of this, but in New York State and in our fellowship, there have been three pastors asked to be removed from their church within the last 6 months. Now listen, I hope you don't fire my sorry butt like all these other guys, okay? So anyway, but that's what's going on. And it's kind of unnerving. One is, and Brother Bill would know all of these, but one guy was pastoring in Ithaca, so you probably know who I mean, and he had an evangelist there, lay evangelist, that was out of his church, part of his church, member. But he began to teach people sinless perfection. And he was doing that behind the pastor's back. And so his basic theology was this: Christians don't sin. Well, he don't know me very well, I tell you that. But his very basic theology was Christians don't sin, we only make mistakes. I want to tell you something, we sin. If we didn't sin, why would 1 John 1:9 be in the Bible? Because that's not written to the lost, that's written to the Christian. If we confess our sins, us, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So anyway, the evangelist went around and telling the church people that, you know, Christians don't sin. And he began to get a following, and it wasn't long that the church people came to the pastor and said, you know, we're tired of hearing preaching on the fact that we sin. So we've decided that we have going to vote you out of the church. And so they asked him to leave the church. And then the evangelist kind of took over as the pastor of the church. End of the story, the church has closed its doors. The church is no longer in Ithaca. Now, it wasn't a large church anyway, but it's like he's gone. There's a good pastor in Rochester, New York, that I think today he was going to inform his church that this is his last Sunday. He's discouraged. He's beat up enough by the people of the church. And so, he's a good guy, and he's a good preacher. And Brother Dick, I think you know him. But he's just a good guy. And so he's going to step out of his ministry as well. And he feels like the church is just, driven them out. And Brother Jenkins had mentioned to me recently, and Jim isn't one of them, but that there's two other pastors that he knows that the churches have asked to leave. And then some of you may or may not know this. Tom Stiles pastored a church, and y'all know Tom, I think, pastored a church in West Seneca, New York, which is out by Buffalo. And the deacons called him over to the church on a Christmas Eve one night, and they let him know that they no longer wanted him to be their pastor. That's like Merry Christmas, huh? And so he left the church. And of the churches that I have just mentioned, the only guy that had any false doctrine in him was the evangelist that told the church that sinless perfection. So there really was no reason for any of those pastors, that I know them, to have been dismissed. Now, that's kind of unsettling today. It's a very common thing in churches, but in our whole culture, is for people to usurp authority over the God-given authority, whether it's government or whoever it is, teachers in school, the professors at college. And we're kind of living in a day when that's pretty common. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll talk to our church a little bit about these things, because it is a little concerning, and you hear about it, and you're probably going to be hearing about more and more. In the Old Testament, an armor bearer was somebody who was responsible for carrying his master's shield into battle. So he was there. He also had the responsibility of seeing to the safety of his officer. And so you find David being one of these armor bearers. Now, in the church, the armor bearer is somebody who stands, a man or a woman or whoever, who stands by the pastor to help and to assist him and to support him. Now, I'm going to share a little bit of a testimony with you. 6 years ago, a little over now, my first wife had passed away. And I was contemplating, you know, I didn't know what to do, okay? I didn't know what to do. Do I stay? Do I leave? Do I keep pastoring? I wasn't going to quit on God. I heard a preacher recently talk about, Dick, you were there, about, you know, when he wrote a resignation, do you ever feel like quitting? I've never felt like quitting, okay? I've never felt like getting out of the ministry. I've never felt like I ought to quit preaching. I've never felt any of that stuff. But when my first wife had passed away, I was like, okay, what in the world am I going to do? So I called several pastors, and I asked for some advice. And I got a lot of different advice. But there was three or four guys, or more, there was about 10 guys that I called, actually. But what had happened was, some of the advice that I got pointed to this same area. And this is it in a nutshell. One preacher said, don't leave the church, don't leave the church, don't leave the church. And he said it about like that, and he was about this close, and he was in my face. And so I said, okay. And then another pastor said, and you would know, if I mention these names, all of the guys have preached in our pulpit. And another guy said, Brother Jeff, and he was the guy whose wife had passed away, he said, if I were you, I would just resign now. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I talked to a really good pastor friend, and I talked to Brother Jenkins and Brother Stiles and some other guys in between there. And one pastor said this, and this was really encouraging. He said this. He said, no matter what you do, it's going to be wrong. I said, well, that's real encouraging. He said, if you stay, people are going to leave. If you leave, people are going to leave. If you stay single, people are going to leave because the women are going to get mad because they don't have a pastor's wife. And if you get remarried, no matter who you're remarried, people are going to leave because they don't like who you're remarried. I thought to myself, well, that's a lose, 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 lose. So this is the decision that I had to make. And one pastor said it like this, a good pastor friend. Him and his wife are really good friends of Chris and I. He said, your decision is, do you want to stay and build the church again after the people leave? And I thought to myself, and then he said this, and if you don't, the next guy's going to have to. So I prayed about it and thought about it and fasted about it. And I said, all right, Lord, we'll stay and we'll try to, because we knew we lost some people, everybody knows that, that we'll try to get the church going. Now, I will say this about our church right now. I couldn't be more happy with the spirit of the church than I am right now. I don't hear the gossip. I don't hear the backbiting. I didn't say we're perfect. There's no such thing as a sinlessly perfect church. And I can promise you do not have a perfect pastor, and you never will have as long as I'm here, all right? But that was the decision that ultimately that was boiled down to me and presented to me by several pastors, so I want to stay and rebuild the church. I think the spirit of our church is good. I think the other night, might have been last Sunday night, was talking about soul winning. I think we have a spiritual church. I think we have a good godly church. I think we've got committed people to the Lord. We've got a lot of good people in our church. And in all honesty, I would not want to be anywhere else except right here. And so you're stuck with me at least for a while anyway. But I am 57 and I'll be 58 this fall. Man, I can't believe I'm going to be 50. What's that? Why do you got to remind me? Somebody else in here's got a birthday that day. Who is it? Who? Becca. That's right. You know, after you hit so many, it's like, why can't we just stop counting these things, Richard? I mean, that's the whole thing. But anyway, so I plan on staying a while. But with that said, it brings me back to my message. And I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Did you know I cannot build or rebuild a church? I can't do it. I need your help and your help and your help. You see, what we need is this. The pastor, whether it's this church or me or some other church or some other pastor, doesn't make any difference. We need what we would refer to here as armor bearers. And let me tell you how I feel about something. I need you more than you need me. You can get a better pastor. I wouldn't have to look very hard. You could get a better preacher. That's no question. But I need you, so probably more than you need me. Now, in Strong's Concordance, excuse me, the word armor bearer is listed about 18 times, you can count them. All references to that are in the Old Testament. And it's translated from a couple of words. One is said, if I'm saying it right, and that's questionable, but it's like N-A-W-S-A-W, Nassau. Now, this is the primary word meaning of the word, to lift. And it has several applications, figuratively and literally as well. Some of the applications are this: to accept, to advance, to bear up, to carry away, to cast, to desire, to furnish, to gather, to help, to give, to hold up, to lift, to raise, to regard, to respect, to stir up, and to yield. Now, that's a whole lot in those the words. I won't define them all. The second Hebrew word is keli, or K-E-L-E-E, and it means to complete, or to consume, or to be done, or to finish, and several other things as well. Now, from these two words, we can see that the duty of armor bearers was to stand beside the leader, to assist him, to lift him up, to protect him against any enemy that might attack him. That was the purpose, the primary purpose of the armor bearer of the Old Testament. Now, you think about that definition, and you think about that evangelist that was in that church in Ithaca that I used an illustration a little while ago. And in that church, the guy didn't stand by and defend his pastor. He went behind his back and undermined the man's ministry. And now there's no church there. There's another preacher that Brother Bill and I know, and some of you might know him, but his assistant got up one day in the pulpit, and the pastor, he had an announcement to make. The pastor said, sure, make your announcement. I would do that. If Bill came up to me or Mark or Brother Gambit or anybody else, probably some of you have done it before, and you said, hey, we got something to say, and we want to make an announcement, Pastor, would you let me? I would let you. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing with Pastor. You know, we trust people. We see the best in people. We see the positive aspects of people, and so we trust people. Maybe that gets us in trouble sometimes, but we trust people. And so he got up, and he told the church, he said, now, this is during a Sunday morning service. He was the music director and the assistant pastor. He says, I want everybody to know that I'm leaving the church, and if you want to go with me, you can follow me out the door now. Yeah. This is all in New York State, by the way. I'm kind of a narrow. Now, can you imagine that? But that's what happened. And several people, because this guy had been going behind the pastor's back as well and got a following together. And I don't know what the percentage was, but according to Brother Stiles, it was pretty high that followed him out the door. It's kind of amazing to me. But when a person develops a spirit of an armor bearer, it can help with to curb the tide, I might say, of rebellion, and strife and contention. In our church right now, I don't know of any contention. I hope I'm accurate on that, but I don't know of any contention, and I don't know of any strife. There might be some, I don't know about it. And I suppose there's rebellion somewhere, but I'm not aware of it. But the spirit of an armor bearer is the spirit of Christ, because it is the spirit of a servant. And Jesus said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So it's the spirit of a servant. Now then, what is the function of an armor bearer? Let me give you several things to begin with. First of all, the main function is that of service. He is to help or assist another. What were some of the duties of an armor bearer? And at the end of my message, I have a lengthy list I'm just going to read off to you, written by an associate pastor somewhere. But first of all, it's to provide strength for his leader. Now, I want you to use your mind a little bit, and I want you to ask yourself a question. How can I provide strength for the leader of the church? What can I do? What can I do personally to provide strength for the persons in leadership within the church? By the way, I want to say something. In the church, there's only two kinds of authority. There's pastoral authority, and then there's church authority. And there really is nothing necessarily in between. You have the pastor, and he's the leader of the church under the Lord. And then there is such a thing as church authority. And I say that because of this. If a pastor is immoral, or he's unethical with finances or something like that, or it gets in the middle of teaching all kinds of false doctrine like sinless perfection or something else like that, the church does have the authority. Now, the Constitution, ours, makes it difficult to get rid of a pastor, but the church does have the authority in those cases to remove a pastor. But you better be very careful what you do to charge against the pastor to remove him in those areas. But by the very presence, a true armor bearer will always display and produce an attitude of faith and peace and loyalty to his leader. The pastor has to be able to trust him. So I'd like to tell you that I'd like to be able to trust 100% of everybody within the church. You see, in armor bearers, ultimately, they need to grow in the Lord. Because in the church, the pastor has to carry different burdens from different people at different times. It's part of the ministry. And that's fine. But one person cannot dominate the pastor's time all the time. Because with a church of, I don't know, a couple hundred people or whatever, you have, you know, that's got to get, I got to get spread around, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? So I can't talk to everybody all the time. I can't carry everybody's burdens all the time. Sometimes you have to help carry others' burdens as well. And so there's times when you don't need me to carry any burdens from you, because I can't imagine you're weighted down with heavy burdens all the time. That doesn't seem likely. Some people think they are, but they're probably not really. But so we need your help to help carry the load. I can't carry everybody's burden all the time. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, sometimes people need help. Now, there are times, absolutely, when the pastor gets involved in people's lives. That happens all the time. But it can't be the same people all the time. Because I'm going to say this. You have to mature. And you have to be strong with a sense of joy. And you have to be strong in the Lord with a sense of victory, and walk in victory and live an abundant Christian life yourself. You can't always depend on everybody. I'm going to get to this passage maybe later. But you remember what the Bible said about David? And David did something to himself in the Lord. What was the word? Encouraged. Sometimes you have to grow up and mature enough to know that you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, there are always people who are hurting. And you may be hurting someday, and I may have to help you someday. But there are those that are hurting, and we try to help. But people need to grow in the faith, and their faith needs to be strong. Their faith needs to be active. One of your goals as a believer in Christ is to have strong faith. One of your goals as a believer is to have active faith, to be able to carry on the ministry. So the second thing is this. There must be a measure of respect for your leader, and listen, and acceptance for, and at least a tolerance of your leader's personality and his way of doing things. Did you know God made us all different? I like things that you might not like. You know that wheel? I talk about that wheel, and the spokes, and God's in the middle, and we do the click. Well, about the first week of September, you know what comes to the top of my wheel? You got that right, man, salmon fishing. Now, I don't always get out there as often as I would like to. I don't get out there anywhere near as much as I'd like to, if you want to know the truth. I told my wife that I should sleep on the rocks up there if I could bring my pillow up. I'd be perfectly happy up there. So that's up there, and I like to do so. Some of you say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in your life. Why would you want to go fishing so much? What's it do to you? It relaxes me. It's therapeutic. I don't have any worries. I don't have any cares. I mean, I'm there. The only thing that bothers me is fishermen that don't have a clue as to what they're doing. Other than that, life is good. Darren's seen me get into flesh up there a time or two. Boy, those people sometimes just irritate me. But I get over it fast because we're back in there getting at it again. But those, you think that's foolish. All of us are made a little bit different. There are times that my way of doing things will be different from your way of doing things. But this is going to sound arrogant, I know, but I don't mean it to be. But God made me the pastor, not you. And sometimes that's hard for people to accept. Yeah, but my way is better. You know what? It might be. I'm usually open for suggestions. Did you know the evangelism blitzes that we do here, and we had one yesterday? Do you know they weren't my idea originally? They were a young man in the church. He said, Pastor, I was at a church recently just visiting. He was in the military. He was traveling around. He goes, you know, we did that when I was there. We did this. I said, you know, I'm going to try that. You know, they seem to work pretty good here. So that wasn't my idea. I'm open for suggestions and ideas, and you can share those with me. But you know what? If I say, I don't like that, then let it go. That's all. But people have got to learn to work together. That difference should not cause a problem for anybody. Now, here's a principle which helps me when I wasn't a senior pastor. I was an associate pastor. If the end result of my pastor's plan is to build the church and extend the kingdom of God and win souls for Jesus, I can follow that plan. One exception: sin. If it involves sin, I couldn't follow it. Now, let me ask you this. You've all had, probably some of you have had other pastors. How often does a pastor ask the church to sin? Can you even think of a time when that happened? I can't. Our goal should be the same. What is our number one goal? To build the kingdom of God. We're trying to work together to build the kingdom of God and achieving God's given objectives, which is winning the lost. Now, here's what happens when a church splits and people go this way and they go that way and they start a church there and they start a church there. You got a lot of churches, and they're disgruntled, a lot of disgruntled people in some of those churches. But you know what we haven't done? We haven't built the kingdom of God. People aren't getting saved when that's going on. We need to be winning people to Christ. Thirdly, an armor bearer, and I've been here a long time now, you've got to try to understand his thoughts. Pastor, we don't think like you. There's some truth in that. Very few people think like me, okay? I know that. But listen, don't focus on the things you don't agree with. Focus on the things, I said that backwards. Don't focus on the things you don't agree with. Focus on the ones you do agree with. Well, I don't understand. You know what? You read and study the life of Christ, and we just went through the gospel according to John. The disciples spent 3 years, and they didn't think like Jesus. And they didn't understand all his teachings to them either. Until after he was died and was buried and rose again and ascended unto the Father, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. Eventually, if you're patient and if you pray and think and meditate about what's the pastor thinking about a little bit and try to mull it over in your mind, eventually you can capture the mind of the pastor. Fourthly, an armor bearer walks in agreement with and submission to his leader. Now, submission in our day has fallen on hard times. Nobody wants to submit to anybody. As a matter of fact, when I'm done preaching the series that I'm preaching right now, I'm going to teach a series that I haven't taught on in quite some time, but it's about men's roles and women's roles from the Word of God. It's old-fashioned, but We have evolved so much in the last 6,000 years that we don't know the difference between a man and a woman. So to wear on birth certificates now, we ought to just leave it blank because we're not sure. You think I'm joking about that? That's really going on today. It's bizarre. This is just bizarre. So I thought, well, maybe we'll have a biblical study on the role of a man and the role of a woman. He walks, and one of those lessons will be on submission, maybe two. He walks in agreement with and submission to his leader. Now, Romans 13 mentions submission. Now, that talks about being submissive to government. But all authority, it mentions, comes from God. To refuse to submit to God delegated authority is really to refuse to submit to God. And some people say, well, I always submit to God. You're not submitting to God if you're not submitting to his delegated authorities. Now, you know who the Amish are. I don't like everything about the Amish. And one of the things that they do that irritates me, because I'm an outdoorsman, is they shoot deer year-round. And there, and a couple of them got caught fishing. They had like 60 fish. They weren't fishing. They went down at night after dark. It's illegal. And they had nets, and they put a net across the creek, and when the fish were running up, they were stopping them, and they were scooping them out. And they got caught. Now, I would sure like to know how much they got fined. But here's their argument in court. God gave us those fish. We have a right to those fish. They shoot deer year-round. Everybody knows it. In Steuben County, which used to be the number one county of deer population in New York State, you can't get a doe permit anymore. I said, how come? They said the Amish come up and they just shoot them all year-round. And they do it. God gave us that for food. While I agree that God gave us that stuff for food, do they have a right to not submit to the authority that's out there? Now, I'm not saying all Amish are that way, but I'm going to tell you a lot of them are that way. And they really do that. I was up, Bill, you know where Pat lives. I was up Pat's a couple years ago, and I was talking to, Pat's house, the second, Mr. McCarthy. And I said, boy, I haven't seen many deer around here lately. Oh, he says, I know where they are. I said, you know, where are they? I want to go find them. He said, the Amish shoot them. You just shoot them all the time. Now, that's where I hunt. That's maybe why I got a crow about that thing. But that's what they do. And this is how I see that. And they can say, we're doing this. God gave us this to do them. We can have them for meat. And they can argue that all they want to. You are to submit to God-given authority. And government is God-given authority. There's some foolish laws out there. I grant you that. Stupid laws. But you're still supposed to submit. Don't look at the person of the leader. You know, I could never submit to the former president. Look at the office. You like our governor? Anybody here like Governor Cuomo? Don't raise your hand if you do. We wouldn't probably. But you know what? He is still our governor. You still pray for him. You say, I got two prayers for him. I pray, number one, he gets saved. And if he don't get saved, I pray that he gets removed out of office soon. Okay, but pray for him somehow. You're to pray for that man. And I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. And I will say this. If he got saved, it changed the way he thinks. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Now, this is not written to a church because it's written to scattered Christians. But I want you to look here. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We're supposed to be submissive. That's supposed to be a character trait of Christians. They submit one to another. If the leaders are in direct violation of the scriptures, that's one thing. But we are always under the authority of somebody. Actually, two. One person and one book. God in the Bible. God will not establish you, and you get this, some of you that want to get in leadership one day, God will not establish you as an authority until you have first learned to submit to authority. Dr. Lee Robinson used to say, everything rises and falls on leadership. Well, you stop and think about that. What if you don't have anybody that's going to follow? There has to be, this might not be a word, but there has to be something with followship. Let me make another point. He makes the leader's goals his goals. That's what an armor bearer does. He says, these are the goals of my leader, and this is what I'm going to do. Remember Jesus? When he came, he fulfilled the Father's goals. What are my goals? Well, win souls and build the kingdom of God. Build the church. Build lives. Reconcile relationships. Those are simple goals. How do we do that? We win them, we teach them, we train them, and we send them to do the same thing. To win people to Christ, to teach them the Word of God, to train them in ministry, and to send them out there somewhere to do it all over again. When I was in Ohio, our pastor had some goals and some programs that he came up with. One was called Oh No Man. He wanted to get the church out of debt in 1 year. I don't know what our debt was, but I said I can give to that, and we were out of debt in a year. The other one was everybody reach one. Everybody get out there and win a soul to Jesus this year. Everybody, and disciple that person. Another goal was, he called it the other 70 also, and that's where he said, make friends with your neighbors and have them over for a barbecue or have them over for lunch or something and get to know them a little bit and invite them to church and try to get them under the ministry of the Word of God and try to win them to Jesus. See, his goals were the same too, win people to Christ. That's the goal of the church. Now, here's something else about an armor bearer. He doesn't look for personal praise. You shouldn't need a pat on the back all the time. Should you get it once in a while? Yes, you should get one from me once in a while. Some of you have, some of you haven't probably. But I should give out more than I do most likely. But you do need to mature. The verse I mentioned earlier is in 1 Samuel 36, 30 verse 6. David was greatly distressed for the people spake of stoning him. That would be discouraging. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, you can be tempted to think things like, nobody appreciates me. Nobody cares what I do. You know, that's not true. You might not be told that enough, but that's not true. People appreciate people that sing in the choir. People appreciate people that sing and pray and do all kinds of different ministries, and there's a whole list of them here at the church. We appreciate you. But let me ask you something. Who are you doing it for? Do you want the praise of man or do you want the praise of God? So we do it for the Lord, and we should be more complimentary perhaps than we are, but that's not really why we do it. I you know, sometimes I get a compliment on a sermon, most of the time, no. But one day I was standing by the door. I don't stand by the door anymore, and this guy walks. This is exactly what happened. He walks. I was shaking hands. He walks to the door. He turns and looks at me and shakes his hand, and he said, I've heard better. And he and then he walked out. I thought to myself, well, that was encouraging. So, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, I have a suggestion for you. Shut up. Just don't say anything to people. You say, this guy taught the Sunday school class, man, it was the worst lie. Okay, and this lady sang a song, and she, don't say anything negative like that. People are doing what they can do for the glory of God. We appreciate you. People that cook dinners, people that clean the toilets, people that take care of the nursery and all that stuff. We appreciate everybody that does all of that stuff. You know when you get noticed? When you don't do your job. Isn't that sad? But that's true. You come home from work, some of you guys, you don't know what's happened with your wife that day and the kids, and you come home, no dinner. Dishes stacked 3 feet thick on top of the counter. You know, just a disaster. It looks like a tornado hit the place. And you walk in and say, what is up with my wife? Well, she's cooked your meals 300 days already that year. Come on. Give her a break. Be appreciative. We appreciate you. Seventhly, an armor bearer follows orders correctly. Now, listen, you have to be flexible. You do not always have to be, you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. If you got a good idea, fine. But run it by the pastor. Let the pastor know about it. Some things have been done to prove to work. But sometimes people just gotta fight. Don't be fighters. Gina, you had a disup. Several years ago, we had a fun day. There were a few people, I don't know if you know this or not, they weren't always, not 100% of everybody was a fan of that. You did know that? So there was a couple people that weren't a fan of that. And I thought, it's a tool to get the gospel out. What's wrong? Was it sinful? Was there anything? Listen, just so you know, we made a lot of sermons of the past, me, and we gave them all out and they were gone quickly. We didn't make enough. Huh? How about that? That was, well, they didn't know what they were getting today when they got them. But we tried to use it as a gospel tool. These things are tools. I was telling Brother Fielder about it, Ken, before we actually did it, what we had in mind, and we were working on it at the time. He said, Pastor, we've had one of them. He said, you know, we got deacons in our church from that fun day we had at our church back then. They lived, I don't remember where Ken said he was, Ohio somewhere, but anyway, what was he? Mansfield, Ohio. And he said, we had that fun day. He says, and people came to church, and a couple of them came to fun day, and then they started coming to church, and then they got saved, and he goes, you know, down the road a year, now they're deacons. It's a tool. That's all it is a tool. It's not like we're going to turn our church into some kind of a carnival every Sunday. It's too much work to do that. Besides, we're not going to do that. But people got to let you know what's wrong with it, and this is wrong with it, and that's wrong. You know what? And all of our young people had a good time, and the church worked together in unity, and it was a beautiful thing. Eighthly, then, an armor bearer is a supporter. We ought to maybe do one of these some other time, but somebody else ought to head it up other than Mrs. Gant. She's busy enough with this co-op. He's a supporter, or she's a supporter. Did you know I need faithful supporters? Those who support uphold. They're a sustainer. They're a defender. Pastors are human. We hurt. We make mistakes. We get frustrated. We get bothered. We face discouragement. Sometimes we face disappointment. We do. I even know. They say, and they say Charles Spurgeon suffered with depression. You've read that. It's hard for me to believe that a man of Spurgeon's caliber would suffer depression and the way God used him, amazingly. His sermons are still in print. And yet he suffered depression. He's just a normal man. Then, armor bearers, don't let him know that you would like to do in the church before doing it. An armor bearer doesn't just take things into his own hands and does it. Now, I did not write down where I read this, but I want to give you this quote, and I got to hurry. But some assistant pastor, I think, wrote this. He goes, I have seen times when the pastor has asked an associate to make some changes throughout his department. let me read it. The associate then calls the staff together and tells them, Pastor has said that you better straighten up or you go. Well, that's not probably what happened. That makes the pastor look if he's some kind of an unholy, ruthless king sitting on his throne barking out orders. This kind of thing happens all the time in churches. And the result is always strife. The only reason any associate would say such a thing is to make it look as if he really cares for the people under him, but the pastor doesn't care. It is just an attempt to save his own reputation at the expense of the pastor's. A true armor bearer will always strive to represent his pastor well before all men. You don't need to make the pastor look bad. Listen, I know I make mistakes. You know I make mistakes. You know what? I might make one tomorrow, but I know you'll know I make more in the future. There's no doubt about that. Then, he's an encourager. When the pastor says, let's build the church, what's your first thought? Pastor, we can't do that. Let's go soul winning. We can't win anybody to Christ. Let's go invite people to church. Let's have a track blitz. Let's put door hangers out there. What's your first thought? What a waste of time. If that's your first thought, you got stinking thinking. You know that? In Numbers 13, 12 spies were sent out. You know the story? 10 came back, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. Well, verse 30 of Numbers 13, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The rest, other than Joshua, nah, we can't do it. We can't. Turn to Numbers 14. We can't do it. It's too hard. Woe is us. You know, we're out here. There's a lot of churches doing absolutely nothing for the Lord today because nobody wants to get involved and do anything for God. In Numbers 14 and verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's. This ain't the verse I wanted. That's because I'm in Exodus. Let me try that one more time. Here's what they said. You ought to read this chapter, but I'll just go to verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. You know who their leader was? Moses. He still is considered to be Israel's greatest leader ever, greatest prophet ever. And they said, well, we might as well get somebody else and go back into Egypt. Let's go back to the world. Let's go back to where we were slaves and in bondage. And if you remember other passages, they're talking about all this nice buffet that was set out before them. They didn't have a buffet set out before them. Their mind was kind of messed up. The vision of the church that you are called to serve is God's vision. And if he thought you didn't fit in, he'd not have put you where you are right now to begin with. So get involved. You don't always get a pat on the back, I mentioned that, for doing a good job. But you can I remind you, our rewards are in heaven. Our rewards aren't down here. Whose approval do you want? Now, I'm going to read, and that's all I'm going to do. I was going to comment on some of these, but I'm not going to, if I can get them in the right order. These were a list of things that an assistant pastor put together in a research that he did of an armor bearer. And I'm just going to read him, and I want you to listen to him. It's going to be kind of dry and boring, so try to listen. He awakens and arouses his leader, helping him to stand against all foes. He's like, I'm just encouraging him to keep on keeping on and to stay in the fight. He carries and handles his leader's weapons resourcefully. That's an Old Testament armor bearer. That's what he does. He sacrifices his own life and well-being for the betterment of his leader. Next week, I will give you two examples of Old Testament armor bearers that actually killed themselves because of what happened to their leaders. He works for his leader's welfare at all time. He demonstrates total intolerance of any false charge made against his leader. Now, I want to pause. People don't do that today. Somebody says something negative about the pastor. Oh, let me hear more. Oh, what else you got? Oh, I like the gossip. Oh, I like it. Ooh, this is juicy. That's pathetic. That's what that is. I don't know of any of that going on here, but so praise the Lord for that, but it ought not ever go on anywhere. But I used some illustrations earlier in the service tonight where it has gone on. He desires to see his leader get ahead. He forgives his leader for any offense immediately and without harboring resentment or anger. You don't ever want to have a resentment or anger. He refuses to hold the grudge against his leader for any reason. He demonstrates extreme loyalty to his leader even unto death. That lacks in a lot of places. People say, I ain't going too far. He completes and compliments his leader. He esteems his leader as more important than himself. He moves quickly alongside his leader through the thick of the battle as a forceful escort who never falls behind. He protects and watches out for his leader continually and continuously. He repels any type of attack against his leader. Do you know people side with the negative more often than they side with the positive? Isn't that sad? Now, this one, he wrote this down. He says he rescues his leader from all difficulties and hardships. The truth of the matter is he can't do that. He can't rescue his leader from all. He moves to resist totally and completely every enemy advance which comes against his leader to harm him. He can do that, but he can't stop it. He opposes and routs his leader's enemies swiftly and forcefully. He remains always on duty at his leader's side to tend to any need that may arise. He keeps an eye on the leader at all times and the other eye trained on the enemy, anticipating the actions of both. He surrenders completely to his leader, trusting him implicitly and obeying without hesitation his every command. He carries out every plan of his leader successfully. He completes his leader's commands perfectly. He assists his leader in all activities and undertakings. And he's got a few other ones listed there that don't even apply today. Keeps his eye on the road ahead so as to point out his leader any danger or pitfall. Now listen, he recognizes and brings to his leader's attention any questionable matters or any vital information. He strives to make his leader's surroundings more pleasant and bearable, and I would say to that if he can. He develops an eye for detail. He helps bring an acceleration in growth and promotion. He places primary emphasis on enhancing his leader's position, guarding against any personal jealousy, envy, or selfishness. And I will tell you, that is what's the problem with a lot of assistant and pastors. They look at the pastor and listen, is the pastor of the church I get complimented by others way more than I should. Not from you, but from others. Like, if we have a dinner here at the church, at the pastor's fellowship, boy, pastor, that was a good dinner, thank you. I didn't cook one thing. I mean, what are they thanking me for? But they ought to thank you. But the pastor gets credit for some of those things, but everything else that goes wrong, he gets blamed for that as well. So it works both ways. Some people will never give a pastor any credit for anything, but everything that goes wrong is got to be his fault. And so you have to be careful of some of these things. Let me read the rest of them. Watches out for his officers every reward, claiming those which the leader may have overlooked. Works tirelessly and diligently on behalf of his leader, seeking ways to advance his welfare. Fulfills his leader in every way, getting along with him and making him feel comfortable and giving orders. He doesn't fight. He doesn't argue. He's not strifeful. Now, I didn't write that. A pastor didn't write that. An assistant pastor wrote that concerning his relationship with his pastor. I want to say his last name was Nance or something like that. Now, let me say this. I'm going to shut up. I need your help. I need your help to build God's kingdom. And I need your help to build the church. But I will be honest. I am more interested in building God's kingdom than our own little kingdom. If we build God's kingdom, this will take care of itself. So when I say don't fight, some people fight bus routes. I don't know why more of you aren't involved in bus ministry, I'll be honest. You say, bus kids come in here, man, they mark up the... So do your kids. They mark up the walls, they tip the chairs over, they bend the metal, they scratch this, they do that, they put 47 pounds of toilet paper down the toilet. Yep, so do yours. They do. This was a Sunday night service, okay? There was no bus kids here. And I went into the men's room. The boys, about four of them, were coming out giggling. And they said, I wonder what them sorry little rascals are up to. So I go into the bathroom, and ladies, you're glad this didn't happen in yours. I pulled the door. The stall door was locked. We only have two. I pulled the door. The stall door was locked. You know what they do? They go inside, they lock the doors, and then they crawl under and they come out laughing. Now, I don't want to. I know who they were, by the way, because I called all four of them. Because I was walking out. I was walking in when they were walking out. Does that bother me? I didn't have to go that bad, so it didn't really bother me, all right? But not really. Those kind of things don't bother me. Kids are kids. You know what kids do? What kids do. That's what they do. If you want to know if it's yours, don't ask me. I don't want to be tattletale. But don't fight the buses. Don't fight the vans. Don't fight junior churches. Don't fight soul winning. Don't fight evangelism. Don't fight the fair booth when we go. In fact, some of you more ought to be involved in that. Don't fight our children's ministry and the co-op. And yeah, the co-op uses the church more than, because there's so many people and they use it all 3 days a week. I understand that. Don't fight that. Don't fight John and Romans. And don't fight, you know, different things that we might change. And don't fight change of method. And you know what you ought to do? Get on board and do something for the glory of God. If it's not sin, don't fight it. That's all. I'm open to suggestions. I think I said that earlier. I'm open to suggestions. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, okay? I don't always come up with all the great ideas. So I'm open to ideas. But I've said no to some people's ideas before. I don't know if they got mad at me or not. I hope they didn't. But so I'm going to say what I said earlier. I probably need you more than you need me. And we need to build a church. Beyond that, we need to build the kingdom of God. So let me challenge you tonight to get involved in helping build the kingdom of God. You do that by winning the lost. You say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Some of you have told me you have the gift of evangelism. You took a spiritual inventory test one time in your life, and you said, I have the gift of evangelism. How come you're not using it? I've got the talent for music. Use it. Somebody told me, don't ask me why, it was a woman. She said, I like working with the 2 and 3-year-olds. I'm thinking, really? I don't. But you know what? Use it. Whatever it is that you like to do, use it for the glory of God to help build the kingdom of God. Them are talents. And whatever gifts God's given you, use them for the glory of God and build the kingdom of God. That's all. I don't think I've ever asked anybody to do anything unethical, sinful, or anything like that. And Lord willing, I never will. And in all honesty, I had originally thought about, I thought to myself, you know what, when I hit 60 years old, I'm going to resign from the pastorate, and I'm going to do mission trips and go on mission field trips and do all this kind of stuff. Well, we adopted Jamie and Lily, so there's no need for me to resign at 60 years old now. I ain't going on no mission trips anywhere. So you're stuck with me for a lot longer than you thought, and I'm pretty healthy. That could be scary, right? So I don't know how long I'll be here, but we want to build, you know, I just want to build the kingdom of God. We need to do something for the Lord. We do. Homes are falling apart. Relationships are a disaster. People aren't coming to Christ. This world is a mess, and I mean a mess. President Trump does not have the answers. The government cannot, and I like President Trump, government cannot save America. Only the church, the local Bible-believing churches. We have a good one, and this one ought to be doing something to build the kingdom of God. I hope you'll take that challenge very, very seriously. Let's pray. Ushers, if you'll come, please. Father, I want to thank you for the armor bearer. We didn't look at a lot of scriptures tonight. We'll look at more next week and the following week. But Lord, we need armor bearers. And it is my prayer this evening that you will prick hearts and that you will challenge people to help us do something to build the kingdom of God. Witness, pass out tracts, do John and Romans, go to blitzes, do whatever it is. But Lord, break our hearts. We have a lot of ministries in our church, and every one of those ministries ought to be doing something to win people to Christ and building the kingdom of God. So Lord, I pray that you would challenge us. Continue to keep us in a spirit of unity and oneness. Continue to keep the enemy away. We pray for protection on our ministry here. And Lord, we pray that we'll do great things and that you would use this place, that you, because I can't do it, and the people can't do it without your help either. But Lord, we need you and we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you would empower us to do great and mighty things in building your kingdom. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen. Ushers, would you come please tonight?